to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read from chapter 27 of that book, the first 11 verses of the chapter. And then there's a New Testament passage which we'll refer to later on, and that's in the Epistle of James and at chapter 4 of that epistle. But reading, first of all, in chapter 27 of the book of Proverbs, and the first 11 verses of the chapter. And out of the first verse, of course, we do take our theme for the invitation service tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbour that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me. Amen. In those verses that we read from this evening out of the book of Proverbs, we have what you might rightly call one of the best known of all of the Proverbs of the Lord's servant Solomon. It's the one that comes in the very first opening verse of the chapter, where we are exhorted not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, because, as it says there, we know not what a day may bring forth. The words are fairly well known, I'm sure, to one degree or another, even in these present days in which we live. And yet at the same time, they are not very well understood or not very well applied to people's hearts and their souls, not only with regards to the days of this life that are granted to us in this present world in which we live, but also for those eternal days which stretch out before each and every one of us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Timely words for each and every one of us at any time in our life. Timeless words when it comes to the issues of eternity for each and every one of us. And in our time together for this evening then, it's something of these timeless, timely words that I want us to take up and look at. So for the sake of division, two very straightforward points. First of all, we'll look at the challenge that must be drawn out of the words, and then we'll look at something of the comfort and the confidence that may be drawn out of the words as well. The challenge that must be drawn out of the words, the comfort and the confidence that may be drawn out of the words. So first of all then, the challenge that each and every one of us must take to our hearts and our souls this very evening before the Lord our God in heaven above. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, it says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And the first thing that we need, of course, is a word of clarification as to what the Lord's servant is saying by the Holy Spirit of God when he tells us not to boast about tomorrow. When he says that, he's not saying that we are not to think about the things of tomorrow or look to the things of tomorrow or make preparations for the things of tomorrow in our life that the Lord has given us to live. He's not saying anything like that at all. And as you read through the pages of the Word of God, the pages of this book of Proverbs itself, then it's very clear that he's not saying anything like that at all. Away back in a previous chapter of the book of Proverbs, you have that famous word of the Lord's servant with regards to the man or the woman who is termed as a sluggard, a slothful person. And in those well-known verses, the Lord's servant says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And the thing about a sluggard, you see, a slothful person is this, he will just not do the things that have to be done at the time when they should be done. He will not look to tomorrow in that sense. And so the Lord's servant says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. She gathers her meat in the summer, gathers her food in the time of harvest." She makes preparation. The little ant makes preparation for the things that belong to tomorrow. And a man or a woman or a young person who doesn't do that comes into another kind of challenge of the Word of God, other than this challenge that you have at the beginning of this chapter 27 of the book of Proverbs. Solomon is not saying, don't think about tomorrow, blot out the things of tomorrow from your life. He's not saying anything like that at all. And it's not simply Solomon, of course, who is saying this. It's the Lord giving Solomon those words by the Holy Spirit to set them down on record for all the ages of men and women that were ever to come. And not simply this part of the Word of God, but endlessly throughout the pages of the Word of God, we're told to do the things that we need to do for today and for tomorrow, for all the days of our life that the Lord grants us to live in the world. There is a tomorrow. We have to see to the things that belong to tomorrow. Indeed, there's an eternity. And not to make preparation for the things of tomorrow, well, that's bad enough. But not to make preparation for the things of eternity, that's where the issues of the gospel really come in to their own with a challenge to our hearts and our minds. So Solomon is not saying, don't think about tomorrow. Don't take tomorrow into account. Forget about tomorrow. He's not saying anything like that at all. Well, what is he saying? Where does the challenge come in the course of the words to our souls? And the challenge comes, in fact, in the very first word of the chapter, the word boast. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, he says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And in the verse, of course, we're being told what we are not to do. We are not to boast of tomorrow. And we are told why we are not to do that, because we know not what a day may bring forth. To boast of tomorrow simply means to make all kinds of declarations about tomorrow, without qualification, without deliberation, without reflection, without considering for 1 minute that tomorrow may never come. And if it does come, we may not be here to meet the tomorrow when it comes. That's what this boasting is like. This part of the Word of God exhorts us not to boast about tomorrow, for we know not what tomorrow, the day, may bring forth. And what this part of the Word of God says with regards to that, the Word of God says constantly to each and every one of us. Now, that reference that I said out of the Epistle of James, that's one of the places in the New Testament where you have a great statement with regards to the very issues that are before us tonight. It's in chapter 4 of the Epistle of James and in verse 13. And it says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil." You rejoice in your boastings. And what are the boastings? Well, they're these, you see, that the man or the woman says, "Tomorrow I will do such and such a thing, I will go to such and such a place," without one reference to the fact that all our tomorrows, as all our todays, lie in the will and the purpose of the God with whom we have to do. You see, here is what you say. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city. Here is what you should say. If the Lord will. If the Lord will. And if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. It doesn't mean, of course, that every time we open our mouth to express our intentions or our wishes or our plans for tomorrow, we have to audibly say, if the Lord will. Sometimes we say that, sometimes indeed we need to say it, but we don't need to always say it. When the Lord's apostle writes his epistles to one group of people, he says, if the Lord will, but I will come to you shortly, he says, if the Lord will. He writes in another place, and he simply says, I am sure that when I come, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. Didn't Paul know and believe that his life and his breath was in the hands of the Lord his God? Of course he did. But he wasn't forever saying, if the Lord will. And the Apostle James, by the Spirit of God, isn't saying that every time we think about our plans, we are to audibly say it, the Lord wills. There are those times when we say audibly, if the Lord will. But he's not dealing with what comes out of the lips at times. He's dealing with what should be in the heart continuously. And continuously in the heart, my friends, there should be that understanding that whatever plans we have or any intentions or wishes, whatever it is that we have, they are all in the will and the purpose of the Lord our God. He is dealing with the attitude of heart and mind. That heart and mind that knows that our life and our breath are with the Lord. He's dealing with that fixed understanding of heart and soul that always knows that our times are in his hands and that we must never boast in the things that we're going to do apart from the will of the God with whom we have to do. And that's where the challenge of the words come in. Do we know that? Do we believe that? Do we experience that fact in our hearts and in our souls that our life and our breath are in the Lord's hands? Now have a look at how the challenge is brought before us in those words of the Apostle James. Now, when it says, go to now, that's a phrase which really means waken up, come to your senses, get a grip on your senses. That's how we might well read it today. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and so on. And you see how the Lord's apostle, under the hands of the Holy Spirit of God, heaps up all of these intentions and these plans of this man or this woman, who has no thought of the fact that there is a God in heaven above with whom they have to do. And you get all the links with that wee word and. There are an awful lot of important wee words in the Word of God to our souls. And that word and, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. They're sure when they're going to put their plans into operation. Today or tomorrow, it's going to be done. They know where they're going to. They're going to some city or other that they've set their heart and their mind on. They know what they're going to do when they get there. They're going to buy and they're going to sell. And what's more, they know the outcome of that. They're going to get gain. You see, they say today or tomorrow, we're going to go into this city. And when we get to the city, we're going to buy and we're going to sell. And the outcome is we're going to get gain. Waken up, he says. Waken up. Get a grip on your senses. For you know not what a day may bring forth. And my friends, you see, it's that attitude of heart and mind that thinks it has its life in its own control and not under the hand of a God with whom we have to do. And so he sets off when he gives the call to waken up. He also sets an alarm clock that should waken each and every one of us up. We have no idea what tomorrow will be. That's for one ear. And for the other ear, our life and our breath anyway, when it appears on the earth, is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And aren't they two powerful words that he sets before us? Go to now, ye that say to me, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. In the words of Proverbs, ye know not what a day may bring forth. And I don't think that needs any opening up to any of our hearts and souls, that we know not what a day may bring forth. And how differently, my friends, some of the days of our life have concluded from the way that day started. And we've said it often enough, all you need is a knock on the door, or a letter through the post, or a phone call, or a slip of the foot. And how vastly different that day turned out to what we had planned in our hearts and in our minds. If there is anything that we don't know, it's what a day may bring forth. We can remember the past, we can experience the present, but we can't foretell the future, not even one day of the future. And what of that other word that James sets out? Well, he says, our life, it's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's a picture. Bible is full of pictures. And the picture here is the picture of the sun rising in the morning and the dew has wet the grass the night before. And then as the sun comes out and heats the ground, then the mist comes up, the vapor comes up from the grass for a time, and then it vanishes away. Sometimes it's a little longer in vanishing away than others, but ultimately it vanishes away. And when it comes to each and every one of us in our span of life in this world of ours, well, one life might be a bit longer than the other, but in the light of eternity, each life, no matter how long that life is but the mist that appears for a little time. In the book of Deuteronomy, you read about the death of Moses, and we're told what appears to be a very strange thing about Moses, especially when you think about him dying. It says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, without being too, I don't know, maybe I should say Irish, he died in the best of health. Moses died in the best of health. Normally we die when our health fails. That's one of the reasons why we die. Moses was in the best of health. His eye was not dim. His natural force was not abated. Why did he die? Because God said, Moses, it's your time to die. In fact, God told him, go up into Mount Nebo, he says, and die there. Die there. It was Moses' time to die, my friends. And all the health and vigor that he knew didn't put off for one day his day for dying. What is your life? It's but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And surely a word like that is meant to challenge each and every one of our hearts and our souls this very day, this very night, when we are within the walls of this very building. And may it do so, because that's how the comforts and the confidence come. They come on the backs of the challenges that the Word of God sets before us. Well, let's have a look at how the comforts and the confidences may be drawn out of the very words. The words are to challenge, must challenge our hearts and our minds. But at the same time, if we have ears and hearts to understand, then of course they can comfort us, or we can draw comfort out of them. In the previous chapter of the book of Proverbs, you read about a whole lot of people who are put down as fools, biblical fools. And there are lots of ways that men and women appear foolish before the Lord our God. And one of the best known fools, I suppose, of the New Testament, you would say, is the man that we normally refer to as the rich fool in the Gospel of Luke, as the Lord told the parable about that man who had a great harvest one year. He didn't know what to do with all the produce of the fields. And so he decided what he would do. He would build new barns and he would store up all the harvest that he had reaped in. He would probably, in the light of our Lord's words, he would probably do it tomorrow. He's getting ready to go to bed, you see. And he thought, right, tomorrow I'm going to build all these barns. And then says the Saviour, the Lord came and spoke to him and said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You see, the man thought that night, well, I'll build these barns and I'll say to my soul, "Take thine ease, thou hast much goods laid up for many days." The problem was, he didn't have many days. He didn't even have one day on the face of this earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, is setting forth a challenge in those words. But when you read that passage in the Gospel of Luke, don't stop there. Because our Lord Jesus Christ then goes on to make application of the words that he has said. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore," now he's throwing them back to the parable, "therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." And then these words, "but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." See, what great words to come on the back of the challenge. Listen to the challenge, he says, but then take the application of the words to your souls. "Indeed, that you know not what tomorrow may bring forth, but there is a God in heaven above to whom you may come and approach." And when the challenges come to our hearts and our minds, my friends, they come to our hearts and our minds to open up our hearts and our minds to hear what God has yet to say for the good and the comfort and the confidence of our hearts and our minds. There's another famous case in the New Testament about a man who was challenged but didn't take the challenge in the way that he should. There's a man called Felix. Read about him in the Acts of the Apostles, and the Apostle Paul preached to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that he wasn't righteous, that his life certainly wasn't a temperate life, that there was a judgment indeed. And it says that as Paul preached, Felix trembled. And then he said, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." And very often you hear people say, well, he didn't have a convenient season. Well, that's not really the point, because we're told in that part of the Acts of the Apostles, in fact, that Felix heard the Lord's Apostle Paul many times after that. He thought he could extract some kind of money out of the churches of Christ in those days by releasing Paul. And it's so it says there that he sent for him the more oftener. He heard him. Felix did hear the Lord's apostle many times after that, but he never trembled ever again. You see, he trembled then, but he didn't do anything about it. He was challenged about righteousness and temperance and judgment. He trembled, but he never did anything about it. And the one thing that he never did about it, my friends, was this. He never applied for the comforts of the gospel that come on the back of the challenges of the gospel to our souls. And when God sends a challenge into our hearts and our minds on any subject, it becomes each and every one of us to give good ear to the challenge and then seek out the comfort and the confidence that comes in the back of that. And certainly that's the case in the issues of the gospel at the very outset of the gospel to our souls. And let me ask you this, my friend. Have you ever trembled like Felix at some point under the word of God and then pushed it off? Well, if you have, let me tell you what to do tonight. Go to the Lord right now in your heart and your mind and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for pushing off that trembling, and pray that you'll tremble again until you come to the ease of the gospel to your soul. When the word of God challenges us, it challenges us in order that we might come to the blessings of the word of God in the gospel of his Son. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why the word of God says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And if your heart trembles and your mind thinks, and surely, my friend, you should think, even in the light of experience, people are dying this day, tomorrow, the next day. It is appointed unto men once to die. And then what? And then what? And unless we have the comforts of the gospel to our souls, then we have nothing whatsoever. When our Lord speaks in that place in Luke about seeking the kingdom of God and so on, he uses the same ministry, as you would say, in the Gospel of Matthew. And when he does it there, he does it in a very telling way. He's speaking about how our Father in heaven feeds the fowls of the air and so on, how he makes the lilies to be clothed. And so he goes on then to speak about seeking first the kingdom of God. And so he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, our Lord isn't saying, just rub off, just scratch out of your mind any thought of what lies before you. But he's saying this, if you have first sought the kingdom of God, then tomorrow will take care of itself. Once you get eternity settled, then whatever it is that tomorrow or the next day or the day after that again will bring, it's eternity that you've got settled. And so you can live in the light of time. There's a lovely hymn by William Cowper. In holy contemplation we sweetly then pursue the theme of God's salvation and find it ever new. Set free from present sorrow, we cheerfully can say, even let the unknown morrow bring with it what it may. It can bring with it nothing, but what will bear us through, who gives the lilies clothing, will clothe his people too. You see, we settle eternity, and once we have settled eternity, then we can face whatever tomorrows we may have to face. It's not to be overlooked, the imagery that our Lord uses. And our Lord says, look, if your Father in heaven clothes the lilies of the field, which are today and tomorrow, are cast into the oven. And indeed they are arrayed in glory such as Solomon never had. Will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? And of course, when he goes on then to say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we shouldn't overlook the connection, because the clothing that God grants to all those who believe is the clothing of the righteousness which belongs to being men and women of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. That's the challenge. But if we know what eternity will bring forth for us, then we face tomorrow and the next day and so on. Pretty basic truth, the truths of the Word of God when it comes to the issues of our soul's salvation. And this, you see, man loves to be his own master. And that's where the challenge of the words come. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And yet, here's the strange thing, that whereas we may not boast of what a day may bring forth, there are those who may boast with regards to what eternity will bring forth. You see, there's such a thing as well-placed boasting in the Word of God. The psalmist David has it, gives expression to it. My soul, he says, shall make her boast in the Lord. In the Lord. Remember the words from this morning out of Philippians. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And you see, on the one hand, I have nothing whatsoever to boast of, but I have everything to boast in, and that's Jesus Christ the Savior. And that's why God makes the salvation of our never-dying souls to be entirely in his mercy and his grace. Because if it were any other way, as the Word of God assures us, then we would be boasting our hearts out from beginning to end. By grace you're saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. And if we became our own saviors and worked out our own salvation and acquired it through the works of our own hands, we'd have our chest puffed out, my friends, like cocks, boasting. When Paul writes to the Romans about the righteousness that is by faith in Christ alone, he says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. No such a thing as boasting in the works of our hands, no boasting in the things of tomorrow. And when a man or a woman or a young person boasts about what they're going to do tomorrow, with no reference to the fact that they are in the hands of the God with whom they have to do, that's just one particular expression of the whole attitude of the human heart that wants to boast that it's its own saviour and master of its own fate. But where the gospel of God touches the heart and the soul, then all such boasting is laid aside. And yet, as I say, we can turn and say about today or tomorrow or eternity itself, I make my boast in the Lord. And it's the Lord that gives us the comfort and the confidence that we can face to whatever tomorrows may come before us, because we have faced up to what eternity is and lies before us. That's how we read the words. We take the challenge, very real challenge, very down-to-earth challenge. You know, there are parts of the Word of God. It's not that men and women don't understand what the Bible says. They won't have what the Bible says. What can be clearer than a word like this? Don't boast yourself about tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Indeed, anything with regards to our tomorrows is in the will of the God in heaven above that we have to face. But to know the God in heaven above as the God and Saviour of our souls and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can say, whatever tomorrow brings, by the grace of God I face it, because eternity is settled. And even if I have no tomorrow, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. So to take the challenge, to take the comfort, and as always we pray that the Lord will apply the things of himself to each of our hearts and our minds, to the glory of his name, and to the blessings of our never-dying souls. Amen.